Okay, what's the title of my message? If I'm going to give it a title, let's call it No Regrets. Yeah, No Regrets. And I'll explain that. When I like to do races of various sorts, and I take Ed along, and recently I took Ed along to do this race. And just before the start, I said to Ed, have no regrets when you finish this race. What I mean by that is, give it everything you've got. Because I know, and you, Dave, you probably know this, you run a race, and afterwards you think, well, maybe I should have done this, or I wish I'd done that. And you have all these thoughts go through your head, all your kind of regrets. And so you think, well, if you're doing a race, you think, I'm going to give it all I've got, and then I can have no regrets. Although, to be honest, you still have these things. Maybe I should have done it this way. But I kind of try and tell him, have no regrets, give it everything you've got, see. So, because when we finish our race, when we meet Jesus, we don't want to be there saying, oh, if only, I wish I, and all this, see. So that's where I'm going to head with this. So if you sort of daydream now, you've heard the message. No regrets when we meet Jesus. And we can spend our lives accumulating things. And we can spend our time thinking of what we're going to get next. And, you know, that's what most people spend their life doing. Oh, I'm saving up for this, or I've just bought that, and it's what we spend our time doing. What can we get next, and what are we going to do next? And last week I was in Wales, and my auntie, who passed away back in earlier on this year, we went up into look around her house, you know, what things she had, you know, and you have to look through all these things, and you're looking through all her possessions, her personal things, her photos, and you think, and you know, and it's quite sad, really, you know, because these are all her precious memories, and we're looking through them thinking, yeah, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind that, or nah, it's not of any interest to me, and it's quite cold, isn't it? And you think that was very precious to that person, and yet it's of no importance in that sense now. And I always have a memory of a lady many of you'll know and some of you won't know, Pat Kilkenny. And she passed away, I don't know how many years ago now, 14? Okay. Anyway, but what I do remember, she was a very good lady. She loved the Lord. And you know what? When she passed away, we were asked to go and help clear some of her stuff out. And you know what struck me? And I always thought it was such a good thing. I thought, she doesn't have much. And I always thought it was a good testimony. And I didn't see everything, but I just, that to me, I thought, well, it's quite a good testimony. I mean, it could be that, you know, you were just poor, but I thought, it's actually a good testimony, I think, when you die, that you don't have much. It's quite a challenge, really, isn't it? But that's what struck me when I went in there and we had to try and move. Steph was there. We had to move this big unit down the stairs and couldn't get it out. We carried it back up. But the memory is, I just thought, well done, Pat. You didn't accumulate tumps and tumps of stuff. And I thought it was a good testimony. And I was thinking about this, and I thought about me, and I've got all my, I collect junk. But I'm going to show you some of my personal things that mean quite a bit to me, that I use quite a lot. And I'm going to start off with this. This is, now then. So if you were rummaging through my things and you looked at that, you'd think, wow, look at that. I'd love that, wouldn't you? Now, the only one I probably Norman wouldn't mind that. Because Norman, isn't that worth putting on the wall? Yeah? Yeah. But you could hang that on the wall. It's that nice, you know. It's carbon fiber. It's It's very slick, very fast. And we could put that. I could easily hang that on the wall, you know. That that is worthy of putting on your main room. Yeah. So that's one of my things. But I know for a lot of people, you couldn't care less about it. That would actually cost quite a lot, new. Let's have a look at some other bits and pieces I've got in my bag of things that are special to me. I've got this trainer that, you know, I've got the other one at home, by the way. It's I've had these for years, and they've got good studs in them, or a good sole for running in mud. You know, it's brilliant. They're a good pair. What would these cost? About £70. They are the business for running off-road. So, you know, a good trainer. It's covered in mud. If you were rummaging through my things, you'd say, oh, yeah, I'd love that trainer. This very special item, this is. This has been to Italy and to Spain. It's done many things with me. It's a wetsuit. I've used it on Friday. I raced in that on Friday. That's a real top-notch suit. Brand new, that would probably cost £300. Yeah? I've had it for over 15 years, I think, now. Or about 15 years. It's done many races. I'm sure you'd look through all that and go, yeah, I love that wetsuit. That's fast. Yeah? There's more. An old cycling shoe that I still use regularly. And it's done many miles, and I won't say too much about that, but pair of goggles, super lightweight trainer. Yeah, super lightweight trainer. That is really light. It's called Vaporfly or something.
Do you collect shoes?
I've got a box full of trainers. I've only bought a little selection. Yeah? Don't smell inside the bag. Those are some of my things. But I use those regularly. That wetsuit I've been using quite regularly through the summer. The trainers regularly, I've raced in them. I've just raced in them just this week. Things that I use regularly. The wheel I don't use that much. That was just something I've got hanging in the garage, of course, that I haven't found space on the wall to hang it. But some of these things are special to me. But to you? Worthless. Those are all worthless to most of you. You're not even interested. You wouldn't even give me a fiver for the lot, would you? Norman might for the wheel. But most of you wouldn't give me anything for the lot of that. And yet for me, I use it all the time, very special. I spend my time, using these things. And they're very much part of my life. But what does Job have to say? He says, in Job 1, verse 21, it says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And we probably hear that in funerals, don't we? And yet, if you read the chapter of that, it's where Job hears all the bad news of his family loss and hurt and a lot of pain, and all his conclusion is, naked I came in and naked I go. And it's very, a very righteous thing to say, a very, a tremendous place to be was Job's heart. And we are born naked, but we may be born into wealth, so, you know, we actually might be born into advantage or privilege. We are born with nothing. We may be born with poverty or disadvantage. So in some respects, yes, we are born with nothing and we go with nothing. But we could be born with advantage or disadvantage. But what we do and whether we acknowledge God in our lives matters. So whether we are born with advantage or disadvantage, whether we're all born with nothing in that sense. But whether we acknowledge God is what matters. And if we look at what Jesus had to say, Jesus said this, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you think about it, what do I spend my time dwelling on? Is my heart in heavenly things, in my heavenly treasure, or is it all about my trainers? I do think about these things, mind. Trainers, my wheels and my bikes, because they are part of my life. But it's not my whole life. And some people spend their whole time thinking of these things. That's their life. That is all that life is about. But Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. And we might think, how do we do that? How do we store up treasure in heaven? And are we storing up treasure in heaven? Well, I hope we all are here. I hope we're storing up treasure and not just storing up treasure on earth. Because we all leave it behind on earth, don't we? And you know, you might say, well, I haven't really got much here. You know, you could laugh and say, yeah, well, I haven't got a lot. I haven't got a lot of treasure here. But if you haven't got treasure in heaven either, and you haven't got much here, you haven't got much at all, have you? So we've got to be thinking, how can we store up treasure in heaven? We don't want to be doubly poor, do we? Not much here and not much in heaven. And as I thought about this and I looked at things, I thought, storing up treasure in heaven has an awful lot to do with giving. It sounds odd. It's not grabbing, it's giving. It's all about giving. It's giving of your time. It's giving of yourself. It's giving of your possessions. It's very much about giving. But it is actually more than giving. It's also to do with your values and how you live is storing up treasure in heaven. But it's not just these things. It has to be based on Jesus Christ. It has to be based on that. It's not just giving. It's not just helping others. It's based on Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it says this. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw. This is figuratively speaking as well. If you see, he's talking about building your life on Jesus here. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, it'll be the day of judgment, the day of in the future where we read, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Or, in modern twist on that, if the fire alarm goes, when you're away anywhere, or if you were here now, they say, just get out, don't take anything. So it's a bit like what you walk out of a building with a fire is all that you'd have. And so it's building into God's kingdom using the best, gold, silver, precious stones, not hay, wood and straw that just burns up in a fire. Do we give God second best or do we give him best? Do we give him quality or do we give him the leftovers? And this is what this is about. You know, it's about giving, but is it giving what's left over or do we give God good stuff? Do we give him hay, wood and straw or do we give him gold, silver, precious stones? Do we give him of the best now and we will receive good one day. And we have opportunity in this life to serve God, to live for Him. But it's up to us. And we have to judge ourselves here in the now. We can examine ourselves. And we can look at what we do. You know, what are our motives and attitudes when we do it? Is it for our own glory? Do we do things for our own benefit, our own glory, to receive praise? What's our motive? Or, you know, when we find ourselves doing things, if we find ourselves doing it begrudgingly, or we're moaning about it, we're resentful, we're always watching others, we're comparing ourselves against others, we're judging others. You know, when we're doing things, when we say we're serving the Lord, in whatever we find ourselves in, how are we doing it? Are we doing it as unto the Lord? Because that's how we're told to do it, as if Jesus was there, we're doing it to serve Him. Or are we doing it trying to receive honor and glory? We should do it as unto the Lord, whatever we do. And this is, I just listened to a few things here, and I listened to Ian's message, and I thought that's a really good message. I could sort of graft some of that into here, but go back and listen to Ian's message. You know God. That's a starting place. Know God. Be in unity. These are the things that Ian was talking about. So important. You know, as I thought about these, and we can look at situations, you know, I thought about this. If someone has a good job earning 100,000, we could look at them and say, oh, see, they've got everything, you know, the nice house. Look at the car he's got. Look at that. Oh, I don't know. And yet, that man or woman who's got that job could be given £20,000 to mission works every year. They could be supporting an orphanage completely on their own. Now, that person could say, I want to serve the Lord. I'm going to give up my job and I'm going out to Africa and not be able to contribute anywhere near as much as they are by working and giving that £5,000 to an orphanage. And so we have to be careful, because we could look at that person and go, yeah, look at them. But we've got to be careful how you judge, because they could actually be doing an awful lot quietly. And we may think that someone doesn't do much, and yet they may be praying regularly and maybe writing letters. I've written this down already. I'm just thinking of Margaret here, because she wrote that letter into the paper and prays regularly. Sorry to put you on a pedestal, Dave. But that's what people can be doing. They can be writing letters in quiet. Could be writing to an MP, writing to the newspaper. I know Jack used to do a lot of writing letters. And that could be just a little something that you're doing, you're contributing, that we don't see. Could be praying regularly for people in positions. Praying for people that are suffering in persecuted countries. We don't actually see it. God sees it. And we have to be careful how we look and think, well, they don't do a lot, do they? And yet, you know, everything will be revealed one day. And, you know, we might be in shame thinking, oh, look at that person. They've got such a lot now in heaven. And yet I didn't think they did a lot. Someone may be born or find themselves at great disadvantage. And in that disability or disadvantage, they may be able to give glory to God all the time that they're suffering. We were talking about this in house group. And they may be able to encourage others. And God will see what they do and reward them from their position of disadvantage. And it doesn't look like they're doing a lot, and yet they're encouraging and blessing others in their disadvantaged position they find themselves in. They might be disabled. They might have other disabilities, and yet they are a blessing to God and a blessing to others. God will see it, and He rewards accordingly. Someone else might just find themselves a mum, not earning the 100,000, not being the preaching at the front, but her goal, her aim is to serve the Lord with her family, to say, I want to give honour to the Lord, and I want to bring my children up to know the Lord. That might be her, what she wants. And that's serving the Lord in the position she finds herself in. We might find ourselves in a job. We're at work. And in that workplace, we represent our Jesus at work by being honest, trustworthy, reliable, truthful and faithful, compassionate, you know. We represent Jesus wherever we are. And so you might think, why don't they do more in the church? But they may be at work representing Jesus at work by doing these things, and they're very reliable, very honest, very trustworthy person at work. And that they're building into the kingdom of heaven just by doing that as unto the Lord. So where we find ourselves in various different situations, wherever we are, it might be in our daily life, here or there. It may be something that is church, like possibly out doing street pastors. It might be at home. It might be in a workplace. As unto the Lord. And where you find yourself, give of yourself to that situation that you find yourselves in, as unto the Lord. I'll just finish with that. Where we find ourselves, that's the position that we're in. We don't have to think, I want to serve the Lord, I'm going to go halfway across the world to do it. I'm going to go there to do it. Very often, the story I wanted to finish with, but I can see time's gone, is the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man is there with his wealth, and Lazarus, he was there as the beggar. And you know, he says he was placed there, and I think Lazarus was the rich man's salvation, right next to him. The rich man didn't have to go anywhere to find it. All he had to do was help this man, put right at his gate. And he walked past him regularly and ignored him. That was his salvation there, in the story that Jesus tells. And he ignores him. And Lazarus, I would say, it doesn't say anything about him, but he had to suffer and he lived in his life of disadvantage and goes to heaven. But where we find ourselves, serve the Lord, build your life on the Lord, and have no regrets on that day. When you've run your race, don't look back and think, yeah, if only, I wish I had done a bit more, I wish I'd done that. Just serve the Lord where you're at. Yeah? Okay, I think we can finish on that. Okay, I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. And in what we do, keep our eyes on you. And where we find ourselves, keep our eyes on you, Lord. And in the things that we do, help us to focus on you, Lord Jesus. And then as we finished this life, and whether we've been able to serve you in a grand way or in our own small way, Lord, we just pray that we'd be worthy of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.